Now, if you were here last week, you know that we're talking about a couple of the words that Jesus said to his disciples. And when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he also spoke to us through his written word. And for this, we give thanks to God that his written word is with us. And Jesus died, but his word lives on. And we have his word today. And last week, we learned that we are to be the salt of the earth. Now, remember, we are not the dispensers of salt. According to God's word, we are the salt of the earth. And we are to be salt among people, our families, our neighborhood, wherever we are to be salt, thus seasoning people around whom we, that are gathered around us, so that we can spend time with them and they will come to know Jesus as Savior. Now, this morning, we have the second phrase that Jesus used, and he said, "You are the light of the world." But I want you to keep this in mind. Someone has said this, you know that when you invite Jesus into your life, he comes into your life and he is the light of your life. At the same time, God's Holy Spirit comes into your life. And when God's Spirit comes into your life, he acts as salt. Remember, we never refer to the Spirit of God as it. We always are reminded that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we refer to them as he. So he, Jesus, comes into our life as the light of our life, and he, the Holy Spirit, also comes into our life, and he is the salt within us that we can share with others. Let us share God's word as we find in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse number 13. Let us hear the word of God. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Salt and light. We are called to be salt and light. This morning we're going to take a look at the figure or the image of light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," to his disciples, his word, and when we read his word today, it applies to what? Us. Light is the combination of all known colors and as such is a fitting symbol of the perfections and attributes of God. When we see light, we can think of the Lord. We read in Corinthians, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Imagine that. In the face of Jesus Christ. To the ancient Hebrews, surrounded, and we need to remember that they were surrounded by pagan worshipers. And many of the pagans in those days, they were sun worshipers, but not the creator of the sun, but rather sun itself. So the Hebrews were surrounded by people who were sun worshipers, but they looked to the light representing deity, representing God Almighty. We also know that in many cases, for the really good rabbis, they were often referred to as the lamp of Israel, a lamp of Israel. Now, yes, they spread the good news. They shared the light of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it was really God's light that they were sharing with other people. In reality, Jesus is the one who lit the lamp of Israel. As a true Christian, this is true for us. The essence of the gospel is the good news of the coming and of the eternal, uncreated light, Jesus the Christ, to light the lamps of men and women who are in total darkness. This world is in great darkness. Sadly, the world doesn't realize it, doesn't understand the darkness that surrounds them. And the only light that they have and we have is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read these words of King David. He said, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." Now, you and I can personalize that. You and I can take the words of David and we can say, "My God turns my darkness into light." Yes, there are times when you and I go through darkness. We may go through physical darkness or spiritual darkness, whatever it may be, mental darkness. Sometimes it just happens to us. A certain incident will happen in our life, and it creates darkness. But remember this, it is Jesus who provides light to your heart, your mind, your soul, your very being. We always need to turn to him. It's true for you, it's true for me. Now, to think back to the image that Jesus is presenting, it's important for us to understand the nature of the metaphor of the lamp. The lamp that they used in those days is not the kind of lamp that we would use today. Now, you'll see a picture of it on the screen in just a moment. And this lamp, when we look at it, it's simple, it's shallow, it's clay, it's a bowl. It's sometimes made with a pinched lip so that it will hold the wick and would provide light. Now, a lamp was really important in those days, more than one lamp within the household. We discover that they would have the lamp out at night, and then during the daytime, they would hide it away to get out of the way. They didn't want anybody to bump into the lamp and spill the oil that was in it. And so it was put away, but then during the nighttime, it was taken out. Whenever I think of that, I think of one of the trips I had to Africa a number of years ago. I was staying with a young man. I was billeted to his house, and his parents set up a room for me. And in that room, there was a bed, a lamp, a heater, a bottle of water, and a mosquito net. And I was touched deeply to think that this family set this all up for me. But I'm reminded that I needed a lamp at night. And during the people of Israel, the Hebrews, during that time, the first century, before and after, they needed a lamp. And a lamp was there to show them light in the midst of their darkness. It's a figure from this lamp, we can learn a great deal, because there is the lamp, there is the oil, there is the wick, and there is the flame. And each of those items of the lamp are important messages to you and to me. The lamp, for example, this little clay bowl represents our bodies in which the Holy Spirit dwells. Now, hear this passage from God's Word. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, that's a personal message to you and to me. If we have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, his Holy Spirit comes to indwell us as well. Hear the words again. Do you not know that your body is a temple? A temple is a building that holds things. Your body is a building, a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. God gives us the gift of salvation. God gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. Every true believer has the Holy Spirit alive, active, and well, living within us. It's an absolutely amazing truth. These earthen bodies of ours are the vessels in which the light of God burns with a holy flame. This should be the greatest incentive to fully surrender our lives to God's Spirit so that we would be willing vessels to be used for him. Then we have the oil. Throughout Scripture, we realize that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, oil was used for special anointing, anointing of a prophet, a priest, or a king. They were all anointed with holy oil. Interesting that Jesus fills the role of prophet, priest, he's our high priest, and coming king. So all the offices of the Old Testament were also fulfilled completely in Jesus. Oil was used for illumination and for burnt offerings. In the parable of the 10 virgins, we know that 5 had oil and 5 did not. It's important for you and for me to have the oil of the Holy Spirit in our life so that we can meet every circumstance of life. We read these words, without oil, there is no life. And without life, there is no light. And this is true with a little lamp, with the lamp and the oil. The lamp will not work if there is no oil. The lamp will not work in your life and mine if God's Holy Spirit isn't there indwelling us. In Romans, Paul writes these very sobering words, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Hear those words. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. This is very sobering. Every true believer has God's Holy Spirit alive, active, and well, working within us. Praise be to God. There's the lamp, there's the oil, and there's the wick. Bible scholars agree that the wick can really represent the human spirit. Solomon states, "The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of man. It searches out his most inmost being." How true that is. When we allow God's Spirit to work in our life, he reaches down to the deepest part of our soul. God's Spirit brings to mind things that we have long forgotten. But we need to allow God's Spirit to do his work within us. It is our human spirit that is quickened to life by the incoming of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We cannot live for Jesus if God's Spirit is not within us. God's Spirit is within us the moment that we receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Like the wick, the human spirit must be trimmed. God's Holy Spirit trims us. We need to keep that in mind when we're open to him. It is God's Holy Spirit that brings to mind when we have sinned. Now, you know what the scripture says. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The moment that we sin, in thought, word, or deed, we need to confess it. If we do not confess it, what happens? We'll either forget it or we will forgive it. But it's not forgiven. It ought not to be forgotten. We need to remember, once we sin, that very second, we know God's Spirit tells us what you did was not pleasing to God. And at that precise moment, we need to confess our sin. That's a wonderful truth of God's Spirit, alive, active, and well in you and in me. God's Spirit keeps our wicks trimmed, keeps us looking to Jesus always. The lamp represents our bodies, the oil, the Holy Spirit, the wick, our spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and finally the flame, and the flame is Jesus. Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. Our precious Lord Jesus said this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Hear those words. Anybody who follows him will never walk in darkness. Now that means, in spite of the fact that this world is covered in darkness, there are people throughout this country, throughout this community, throughout the world, who are in absolute darkness. They don't realize that they are, but they are, simply because they have not looked to the light. The only light is Jesus himself. In a very real sense, the light which people see in Christians is derived or borrowed from the light of Jesus. It is his life in us that becomes light to a darkened world. Kind of hard to believe in a sense, isn't it? That you and I are the light of the gospel. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We belong to Jesus. Jesus has entered our life through his own personality. His personality conflicts with ours. We turn ours over to him. His Holy Spirit is within us to lead us, guide us, and direct us. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit working in our life. And this is the light that we are wherever we are. So there's an old saying that says, we are to shine our light wherever we are planted. Meaning, we are planted here, we are planted at work, we are planted at school. Are we being the kind of Christian light that other people will be drawn to Jesus? Not drawn to us, but drawn to Jesus. That's the important thing. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." See your good deeds for what reason? To praise God in heaven. They would look at what you're doing because you're representing Jesus. We are ambassadors of the King. We are in a country today. We are no longer, in one sense, we're citizens of this world, but no longer citizens of the world. We are citizens of heaven. Well, the trio was singing this morning, and they were singing those words. I kept thinking of Vic. Vic, who has now gone through those pearly gates. The question in the song was, "Will the Lord remember me?" The answer to that question is yes, he will remember you. when we place our trust in him as Savior and Lord, he will remember us, even at the day of our departing, leaving this life and going on to live with him for eternity. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father, which is in heaven. A mother took her young daughter to a grand cathedral. And when they went to the cathedral, the little girl looked up and said, "Mommy, who are all those people on the glass windows?" And her mother said, "Dear, those are saints." And the little girl then said, "Now I know what saints are. They are the people who let the light shine through. People who let the light of Jesus shine through." Now, here's an important theological lesson that we learn in this, because we are saints. There are many who feel that the only saints are those that are determined to be saints by a certain or a number of different denominations, that they elevate somebody to a saint. Not so. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, throughout Scripture, we are referred to as saints. So that word, "Now I know what saints are," the little girl said, "they are people who let the light shine through." I pray that the light will shine through every one of us as representatives, as ambassadors of our Savior. Well, now then, we have looked at the figure or image of light, and now what about the function of light, the function of you and me as believers in Jesus? As we all know, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." This is the teaching of the Master. It makes it evident to us that the supreme function of light is to shine. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This clearly tells us that we, as followers of, believers in Jesus Christ, contain his light. And our light, his light, showing through us, is a light to other people, to attract others to come to him. We need to let our light shine privately. We need to let our light shine publicly. We need to let our light shine purposefully. Let our light shine privately. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Gives light to everyone in the house. I don't know about you, but there are those who tell me that one of the most difficult places to be a light for the gospel is in our own home, among our own family, among our friends. And yet, we need to shine that light in our home, within our family, among others with whom we come in contact. In the privacy of our homes, we are exhorted to shine like a candle on a candlestick. Our witness for the world counts for little if there's no light in the house. There needs to be light in your house and in mine. Let our light shine privately. Let our light shine publicly. Scripture says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." The idea behind this is a public witness that involves not only our private witness, but also, as I said earlier, wherever we are planted, that we are a corporate witness. And it's not just the so-called leading lights of a congregation that are to let their light shine, but every single member of the congregation, we are to let our light shine. On many occasions, we have prayed that this church would be a lighthouse. And I took advantage, I come from Nova Scotia, as you know, and I've often seen the lighthouse at Peggy's Cove, and this is the lighthouse at Peggy's Cove. And we are to be a lighthouse of the gospel. I pray that we will be individual lighthouses, and as a congregation, a lighthouse to share the gospel within this community and in the community extended. I'm so delighted for the many lighthouses that we have represented in individuals within this community. I'm thankful for every ministry that takes place and occurs within our congregation. Some of the ministries are very quiet. Some of them are very public. But I'm so thankful to Almighty God for the many ministries that we have among us. And for this, I praise God. May we light the light under each one of our ministries, that indeed we will be ministering wherever we go, and people will be attracted to the light of Jesus. This whole Daily Vacation Bible School or Bible Camp theme is based on water and a deep dive, but also every waterway needs to have a lighthouse, and every place where we are needs a lighthouse. We are that lighthouse. Let's continue to pray that this congregation will be a large lighthouse to this community, and people throughout will be coming to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. Anyone who fails to shine weakens the light, shining out to those in darkness. Paul wrote these words, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has been known everywhere." Your faith in God is being known everywhere. Wherever we go, God's faith is within us. What a testimony. What an encouragement. What a conclusion. On one occasion many years ago, a preacher was preaching in an open-air stadium. There were thousands of people there, but the stadium was also lit with huge lights. It was at nighttime, and the pastor asked the technicians to turn off the lights so that the area in which they were in total darkness, and that occurred. At that moment, he lit a match, and he said, "This one match is not giving you much light. But if we were all to light a match, it would make a terrific difference." Now, this was back in the days when everybody had a match. So he asked everyone in the congregation, large thousands of people, to light a match. And they did. And almost instantaneously, the entire stadium was ablaze with light. Now, the message of that, of course, is one light doesn't do much. But when all the lights are put together, what an impact it makes. That's why it's important that we come to church on a regular basis. That's important. It is important that we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we are an individual light, but when we are together, our light burns much brighter. It reminds me of our Christmas Eve candlelight service, when we use the Christ candle at the middle of the wreath to start the candles going, and then one by one, the light spreads, and finally, the entire sanctuary is alive with light, because it's representative of Jesus, the light of the world, and his light shining in your life and in mine. We are to let our light shine privately, we are to let our light shine publicly, and we are to let our light shine purposefully. We read these words, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Just a little aside. The aside is that whenever Pastor Nate or I preach, usually it's one of two purposes. There may be others from time to time. But the one of two purposes is to present the gospel message so that unbelievers will become believers. It's important for us to know that, because we may have friends that we'd like to invite to our congregation to come and hear the word of God. And you know deep in your heart and soul that somewhere along the line you're going to hear the gospel message presented. The second reason why we preach is also to provide ammunition, so to speak, to our congregational members, so that we will learn more about the Word of God, so that we will apply the Word of God, and we will do what we are supposed to do. That's why last week we talked about us being salt of the earth, and this week why we're talking about us being the light of the world. The light of the world to others, which is Jesus' light shining through us. The shining of our light, both individually and collectively, is not to draw attention to ourselves. We are to draw attention, our life, draw attention to Jesus. When we think about light, we know these facts. Light dispels darkness. Light discovers dangers. Light determines direction. Now think about that in your life and mine. Light, the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus, dispels any darkness in your life or mine. Secondly, light discovers dangers. That's why the Holy Spirit is so live, active, and well within every believer. we can be marching along, going along with the crowd, doing what culture is doing, then all of a sudden, God's Spirit stops us and says, this is not what you ought to be doing, because light discovers dangers. And when the light does, the Holy Spirit working in you and within me, that tells us to stop, go in a different direction. And then light determines direction. It is God's Spirit working in your life and mine, leading us in the way that we should go. Many, many years ago, a missionary was in Africa, and he preached to a Zulu tribe. And there's a little girl in the Zulu tribe who decided to put her trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then she prayed this, O thou great chief, light a candle in my heart that I may see the rubbish and sweep it out. Isn't that a wonderful statement? A marvelous statement. It's a prayer that you and I could pray. O thou great chief, light a candle in my heart that I may see the rubbish and sweep it out. You and I need to let our light shine privately, publicly, and purposefully. Praise be to God.